What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of All Over VoiceOver with Kiff VH. I am your host, Kiff VH, and welcome to the episode. Hey, before we dive in, just if you get an opportunity and want to, you like the show or you listen to the show, just, you know, please, I would love a review or love some feedback. Go ahead and jump on iTunes and shout it out because today's guest is awesome. That was the weirdest, like, disconnected transition. You should, if you diagram that sentence, is crazy. Aaron Cahill is with me, the lovely, talented Aaron Cahill.
Hi.
Thank
Hi,
you
everybody.
So much for coming today, man. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Go ahead, take the plug out of your coffee and drink it. Enjoy
it. Kip bought me coffee because he's a gentleman. You know those days when you're just up for hours and doing stuff and you're how is it noon and I haven't had coffee yet?
Oh, man.
So today was one of those days.
I had one of those, like, haven't showered days until 3 o'clock the other day. Have you?
I
hate it. I hate that feeling. Fortunately, my hair is short right now, so I really didn't notice. But, like, walk the kid to school, come home, do Tai Chi, and then just kind of, like, audition. It's kind of the day. You know, it's just you do your self-tapes and you get caught up with other stuff. And then you're like, it's 3 and I haven't showered and I feel like a Jim Gaffigan bit.
I realized this last weekend, I kind of took like a holiday.
Oh, great.
And we were at my husband and I were at my sister and brother-in-law's house. And I realized I hadn't showered from Friday until Monday morning. I was like, no, wait. No, I apologize. It was Sunday morning. It was only a day.
But still,
it felt, I was like, oh yeah, just missed yesterday.
It's kind of, but like when you can get to that place of relaxation, there's something about, like, the schedule of being a freelance artist that can really, that it's just, it's you, that routine is something that's not part of your world.
Right.
You know, how do you manage your routine? I mean, we know each other from CESD, from VO stuff and hanging out and talking, just being friends and stuff. But, like, I mean, just from what I see on your social media feed, you have an incredible schedule. And how do you find normalcy in that?
Wow. God, I love that question. It's so funny you should ask that today too, because I had a whole thing this morning. I was on my treadmill just like doing work, like work emails and what I classify as work emails, you know. And then and also, you know, just thinking about that, about the life of an artist. And there's my musician husband and he's going to record a thing today with a friend who's doing a show and just stuff like that. And we're both artists. So it's interesting because sometimes I get, wow, I'm going to like get real serious right at the beginning of the show.
That's fine.
I feel like I should keep it light.
That's fine.
But it's because sometimes I see my friends with 9-to-5 jobs and so much normalcy. And then our job is so not normal. And so I definitely had a moment like that today of like, okay, where are we going? What's going on here? Like, what are we doing? You know, but meanwhile, it's crazy. Okay, now it's like shameless plug, brag alert. But I have, you know, it's a screening at Sony of a project that I can't wait to tell you guys about. It's super exciting. I'm not allowed to announce it until the end of March, but
understood.
It's a, I'll tell you when we're off the air.
Okay, good.
Although I never said that. and then I'll tell you guys all soon. And then so like that screening Friday, and then Monday I have a premiere like in Beverly Hills, like red carpet premiere of a movie I was one of the leads of, and I won Best Supporting Actress. I'll talk about that later. Yeah, at a film festival.
Oh my God, dude, that's amazing.
Thank you. It's amazing. So it's like this exciting time, and also there are mornings when I wake up and I'm like, okay, it just doesn't look like what I thought. You know.
Yeah, totally.
But it's amazing. So it's so interesting because it's like I can't – because I was watching Big Little Lies and I was like, my life is so different than that with the school and the kids and the
– Yeah.
You know, and here I am like, you know, doing all the things I was just saying and then heading off to this country and this place. And so it's like – it's super exciting. It's just different.
It's
so different.
Yeah. It's a blast and it's energizing and it's everything that you wanted it to be. And then there's also this very strange component of it, like – I mean, I had a small part in La La Land, so I had this weird connection to the Oscars all weekend, and just think, you know, being a part of that thing is just it was surreal and nerve-wracking. I played the new coffee shop guy, so in the second part of the movie, if you haven't seen
it, Emma totally
goes in,
did.
Yeah, that was me, and I give Emma a cup of coffee.
Kip, that's
it was
amazing.
Like, yeah, it was a blast. It was amazing to be like part of that project. And but I totally have a sense of what you're talking about. The sense of all of everything that you've worked hard to accomplish in your in sort of your creative life, and then waking up in the morning and being like, what am I doing? It feels like a maelstrom is spinning outside of the place. And it's, you know what I mean? Like there are things that are control and things that aren't. And it can be upsetting and like simultaneously thrilling and nerve-wracking. Yeah. It's a really strange way to try to live.
Yeah.
You know?
It's this constant, because at any moment, all of your wildest dreams come true. And like technically, we are living our dreams.
100%.
I mean, yeah, we are, to make a job as an actor, we're in like the top 1% of actors, you know?
Yeah.
So we are so blessed. And also it's like, you know, there's no kind of ground underneath you sometimes.
Yes.
And you're jumping, but you don't know to what. It could be a beautiful little boulder that you're on for a while, or it could be a mountain that has like diamonds and gold on it. You just don't know. And so having that leap of faith, it just takes, for me, it takes like more work than I thought in the area of like faith.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, like even, and it's funny when it strikes, because I have all this evidence outside of me right now that like, it's going really well. I'm okay, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in my head, I'm like, but what about the future? You know? I mean, it's so crazy.
I took a great deal of comfort from and tap into it and reference it frequently with Sherry, with my wife. There was a – Barbara Walters did an interview with Tom Cruise years ago. And she was like, so what's next for Tom Cruise? And Tom Cruise goes, I don't know. I gotta, you know, this movie ends and I gotta go get work. And it was this little moment it was so reassuring in a way of that feeling.
Yeah.
Because you can go, oh, I got this picture coming or this thing, and it's good to see on residual tracker that this is coming through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not just like you say, it's not just about the money, it's about the projects and being part of it and trying to stay active in it and creating.
Yeah.
You know?
And nurturing yourself as an artist.
Yes.
And not, you know, that's why it's called show business, because there's a business aspect, you know? You got to do all that stuff, and you got to be a real person in the world who pays a mortgage and does a thing. But also you've got to be this artist who collaborates and gives that artistic whatever it is,
right.
You know, whatever you personally bring to the table. So it's, I just love you. I love that. This is why we're friends, because it's always like blah, 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 but it's always like real, you know? And I'm so grateful for that, because it is sometimes this business. It's like, and it's so funny because of where my headspace was today. You said the Tom Cruise interview, and I'm like, oh, it never ends. And you're like, it's reassuring. So, but ask me yesterday, I would have been like, that's so reassuring.
But it is that weird thing of like the combination of never ending. And I also know that, and I know you well enough to know that element of it too, it's very exciting and very energizing, and it does drive me.
Yeah.
I like that tightrope. I really, truly do. And I mean, I've had conversations with all of my brothers who are – my youngest brother is a freelancer too now, but he like teaches and stuff. But my other brothers all work in schools and stuff. And the brother James, who's right below me, is like every Christmas when we see each other, he's like, I don't understand how you can go day to day not knowing what you're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
And my response to that too is like, well, what are you going to do tomorrow? Aside from go to work, what are you going to do? Do you really know what you're going to do tomorrow? And do you know whether or not your school is going to keep you tomorrow? Is there a pink slip on your desk?
Right.
You know?
That's the thing. And my husband is a genius at going, babe, it's going to be okay. Like whenever I have like my little, you know, momentary freakouts.
Sure.
Like, you know, and he's like, it's really going to be okay. He's like, you're okay. Yeah. And I'm always like, oh, because you can't, like you said to your brother, even people who think they know what's going on in their lives, you just don't know. We don't have any control. So
that's right.
Worry, what is that like famous quote? Worrying just makes it double, like you suffer twice.
Oh, that's a great quote. I don't know that quote.
Yeah.
That's worrying makes you suffer twice.
It just does. Like, why worry? Unless you're in it, like why? Because then you're suffering over nothing.
Right.
Over a possible future. So I'm so grateful for talking to you today, because I was like, you know, doing my work this morning, I'm like, okay, it's gonna be okay. My husband's like, it's gonna be okay. And then now I'm with you, I'm like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah,
am I worried about?
It's fine. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm blessed to be married to an artist too, and it makes a tremendous difference to have someone who understands that process and the challenges, And that, you know, and that sometimes it's lean and sometimes you're flush and it's just part of the territory.
Yeah.
You know? How did you get started? Where did
you—
Oh,
you're the sweetest. Well, I was made— have you ever seen my tattoo? I was made in New York.
Yes.
So made in New York, grew up in Virginia, then lived in New York again. And my mom was— she did theater growing up. She was an actress.
Oh, wow.
Like a theater actress in New York. And I mean, hysterical, her
stories. What a fun energy to be a part of as a kid, right?
Well, also my mom, like, her pictures are so amazing. She was an actress. She did it in college. And then after that, she became a teacher.
Okay.
So she was a young actress. But, you know, she's got these pictures. It was like the 60s. So you can imagine 60s theater.
Oh, man.
So different, right? Like,
yeah.
Such a different time.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And my dad did set design, and that's how they met. My mom was at a play that he had set designed. And then, so my mom was teaching at this point. She was teaching theater.
Okay.
And she was doing a play at her high school. What was it? I think it was Cheaper by the Dozen was the first one. And she needed a kid. She was like— I was four. She was like, you're going to do this. And I was like, you know, okay.
All right.
One play, that was it.
Really?
I did another one later that year with her school because I took to it like a fish in water. I was just like, oh, this is my happy place. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Mom was like, oh, okay, great. And then I'll never forget the second play. Well, gosh, it was Carousel. Uh-huh. And I showed up. Now, granted, I had like, you know, probably 10 lines in the whole play.
Yeah.
But I showed up. I knew all of my lines and I didn't understand why everybody else didn't. I was like, aren't you guys so excited to be here? Why do you have those books in your hands? Like, just right. From the get-go.
If it really meant something to you, you would be off book first day rehearsal too, you guys. Step it up. Step it up, high schoolers. I hear you, though. I do.
Right?
That's awesome.
How did you get started?
Cartoon impressions on the schoolyard.
That is an awesome answer.
Doing that. And then really, I mean, then I messed with my grandfather's equipment. My grandfather's recording equipment. Let me rephrase that. My grandfather's a minister in the Christian Reformed Church, and he had a radio show. So he would record his sermons in his study, and they would broadcast it on a local Christian radio station.
No way.
Yeah. Local, I should say. It was like national, like, you know, KBYC.
Wow.
Broadcasting to Christian shut-ins all over the country. And then Grandpa's sermon would play. And so he had this little microphone and a dual cassette deck. And when I was of age to be interested in Columbia House and music and Phil Collins and a lot of the stuff, I would take blank cassettes and then my music and then go in there and like DJ and mix stuff and play whenever we went over to visit. And then,
no.
Yeah. And that was kind of how I just really logged a lot of time behind a microphone. But it just felt so far away. I wanted to do it. I've always wanted to do it. But pursue this work. And I did some plays in high school and some plays in college. And then I went tech because I couldn't figure out how to get in front of the camera from Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I thought, well, maybe if I can figure out how to work behind the camera, then I can figure it out when I'm in closer proximity. And it's served me all right. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been great. You're killing it.
So after 4-year-old doing shows in Carousel in high school, then what happens? What do you do after that?
I was kind of like that kid. I was on a bunch of councils. I was the Thespian Society, the president of the Thespian Society.
Brilliant. High five.
Thespian— wait, were societies? You?
Of course. I mean, all that's whatever organization that the school provided that supported this kind of stuff,
yeah.
I was like first name, you know, on the list.
That's
of whatever.
Kim,
yeah.
That's amazing. Me too.
Awesome.
So I would do like, you know, all that stuff. And I actually ended up— I just did theater and dance my whole life. And I kind of did both.
Uh-huh.
So I when I graduated high school, I was like, okay, am I going to go into theater or dance? Yeah. But I knew I was an actress. I did. Did you guys have governor's school where you grew up?
No. What's governor's school?
So it was a summer program that you had to audition to get into.
Okay.
And they only accepted a certain amount of people from each county, like one or two from each county.
Wow.
To go to this like a couple week long program.
Was it like a fine arts camp sort of a thing? Okay.
They taught— oh, it was awesome. They taught theater and you would do Shakespeare class and you would do all these things. But it was a really tough program to get into. And I ended up getting in the summer before I graduated. So I was just kind of that kid. Like I would go to school and then I would dance, I would go to theater practice right after school to like 6 or 7 p.m., go straight to dance, come home at 10 or 11 p.m.,
and then
do my homework and go. Like, so that was just me through high school.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I'm skipping the part where in middle school I was super mad at the world and I dyed my hair green, pierced my belly button, and started failing classes. But that was in middle school. I got my act together for high school.
But middle school is about rebellion, and it's about
– I was so mad.
For me, middle school was about disappearing. Middle school, I had wonderful teachers and was confused but was bullied all through all that stuff and was just like – I could, yeah, set fire to middle school.
Yeah.
But yeah, high school is – it's funny how that happens, how you come into your true self in a way. You kind of go through that horrible metamorphosis that you need that darkness in a way of middle school to help propel you high school, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was tripped in the fifth grade because I was like – oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about. I almost died when I was little, long story short. Yeah, I was a preemie and my tubes were all mixed up and I basically was poisoning myself from the inside out, but we didn't know because I looked normal on the outside. So when I was in kindergarten, I almost died a couple times. And I was really sick and then it just came to a point and it was crazy. But I was in the hospital for a long time. And so I went from Ethiopian skinny to my body and my parents and me, we were all like, I'm alive. I just ate and I got real chubby. So I got tortured in elementary school. And then in middle school, so I was bullied too.
No kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a beast. Man.
I know. It's like, it breaks my heart. I've actually done some like fundraising for that, for anti-bullying stuff.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Cause it's a, you know, anyway. Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about fundraising and charity soon because I am super passionate about it.
Awesome.
That's like my... I mean, I love our job so much, but you know, on the days when you're like, she's such a cruel mistress, and on the days when she's good to you, you're like, there is no better job in the universe.
Yeah.
And then on the days when she's not, you're like, what is the point of anything?
Well, being able to give and help causes, people, source, whatever, I find to be ultimately the most satisfying and the kind of the reason to do this stuff.
It's,
you know, you inspire through your work. Or inspire yourself, but then there is that sense of like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
You know, what do you – there's a great – I talk about him a lot. This guy named Bobby Chu. I met him. He's a character designer. And he designed a lot of the characters in Alice in Wonderland and Alice through the Looking Glass for Disney and stuff. And he's brilliant illustrator, but he has a thing that he's created called Schoolism where he's made graphic arts – education affordable, getting top tier working professionals to do online training for like $15 a class. It's insane. And it's like, yeah, I want to get him on to come and talk. But we talked at length at his table at Comic-Con. Anyway, I'm going down the thing, but it's like, I'm always inspired by people from different aspects of what we do and anything who are trying to, you know, you've attained your goals. Now what? You know? And that it's kind of the thing of like help people attain theirs, throw ropes down, you know, cut down trees, do something.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I love that you have that because I think I always say, I don't know if it's Star Wars or the Bible or what, but there's this quote, to those whom much is given, much is expected. And we've been given so much.
Yeah.
You know, like so much. So it's like I feel like this moral the thing that drives me. I'm like, this is not about me. This is about, you know, using my life to make a difference and really leave something good on the planet. So
yeah,
I love that you have your eye on that too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's really the essence of this show, truthfully. I mean, that's really the idea is to – and I've heard from so many people who are, you know – not only appreciating the show, but are inspired by the people who come and sit on that side of the microphone and share their experience and find those moments where I know for me coming up in Grand Rapids, there was one guy who came out of Grand Rapids. It was Paul Schrader who wrote Taxi Driver and Raging Bull.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't tell you, like just knowing that someone came from my neck of the woods who did it made it seem possible.
Yeah.
So as people have come in and talked about their experience and their story and stuff, I know that it inspires people to be like, man, if so-and-so did it, well, I can try it for Pete's sake. It's not, you know what I mean?
I just love that. And I'll finish. I'll finish that. Okay. Well, so I went to, my brain is all over the place. So
I know,
yeah,
sorry.
So I went to, no, please, it's me. That's always us though. We're always like, bah, bah, bah. Right. So I went to, yeah, whatever, overachiever in high school, then went to college, Marymount, Manhattan, where I double majored in theater, musical theater.
Great.
After a year, I came out here. My mom and sister were moving out here.
Oh.
And I kind of followed them out for the summer. I was fully enrolled back in school. I was on the dean's list, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And I took an acting class. Just, I was like, well, if I'm going to be out here for the summer, I'll take an acting class.
Sure.
And this woman pulled me aside after, Ricky Masler. I love her. I'll never stop saying how much I love her. She changed my life. She was like, okay, honey, let me just ask you a question. What are you doing? Like, what's your story? I was like, well, I'm going to college in New York and I'm, you know, double majoring. And she was like, okay, let me just ask you. Do you want to move out here and learn your job and start your career at the same time? Or do you want to become older and less marketable and then come out and then try and get it started?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it was like she hit me over the head with a 2x4, but with love and like honesty.
Yeah.
And I was like, her? Yeah. The next day I called my roommates in New York and I said, guys, keep the deposit. You'll find another roommate. I'm not coming back. I called school and said, I'm going on sabbatical. And I gave myself 1 year. I said, if I don't get a good job in 1 year, then I'm back in school in New York. That's meant to be my path. And a year and a month later, I was on the set of my first series regular. So I was like, okay, universe, I'm listening. And I did what she said. I learned, my college has been my life, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, not that I'm encouraging people to drop out, but, you know, if the opportunity presents itself and if you lay down some ground rules, like in your own life and in your heart,
then,
you know, the universe will tell you. Like the world, I think, will kind of, if you go with the natural flow of your life, it works out.
Yeah.
And that was the flow of my life. Like I couldn't, I was not a West Coaster. I was a straight up New Yorker.
Right.
But, and it's been the best life choice I ever made. So that's how I got out here. And then just of what you said, yes, like I think that I'm so grateful to be here because I'm like, yes, everybody, you know, live your dreams or try, you know, because you don't ever want to be 80 years old and look back at your life and go, oh, I just never tried.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to try and it doesn't work out, which, I mean, some of the greatest people in history were the biggest failures at certain things, you know?
Of course.
But that to me is more heroic. So I'm like, if there's one person out there who's like, I don't know, should I just try? Give it a year or two.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Why not?
Right.
Especially in this particular discipline, I feel like voiceover is treated like this unicorn, that it's owned by 25 people, that they're the ones who do the work. And you know, and that it used to be the day, but like it's still now there, that not only are there so many different ways in and there's so many different, I mean, God, my first commercial that I did that ran anywhere, I did out of Toledo, Ohio for a Milwaukee.
No way.
You know, yeah, cable company. You know, I was like, yeah, Time Warner Cable, you know, that kind of thing. And it was,
wow.
There's regional spots everywhere.
Yep.
There's ad agencies everywhere. And if you want to participate in this world, you don't have to go outside of your, it's, Sherry always says, it's like being an actor is like being a prostitute. You can do it anywhere. And you just have to be creative about who's doing it and look around you and find it. Even if it's just in your church and you want to do readings, by all means, step up and
Absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely.
And it's the great thing is as an actor, you will never age out of the roles that you're right for. You will age into new stuff.
Oh, because, I love you know you what I mean? I keep telling people that because I think – oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
No,
cut
no,
off.
No. That's all right. I was at a natural pause.
No, but I love that so much because I the older I get, the cooler roles I've been getting, you know, on and off camera.
Sure.
And so that's I love that you said that. Like, I also want to say that to people too. Really, really, you never know. Cause like I just did a little movie in the South in December.
Oh, wow.
And, there's been so much fun stuff. I'll tell you all about it. It's been, I mean, really, I'm like every day I wake up, even when I'm like heavy boots like today,
right.
I'm
right.
still like, thank you, thank you. Although I'm almost out of it. Thank you. Thank you, Kiff. And you guys for listening. But yeah, so like I worked with this amazing woman and she had a full other career and she was, you know, very good. And then she was like, I'm just going to try acting. She took local acting classes and she got herself a local agent, and now she's doing – I mean, in the last couple of years, she's done something like 20-something projects, and she's great. She's great. So you just never know, like – right? And she was always meant to play that like she's playing the kind of like the, you know, beautiful middle-aged like lawyery type.
Yeah.
Because that's who, that's like she aged into that. So I just think it's great. Like you can, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
You know, like if my grandma decided she wanted to do commercials, she would smash it.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
there's the, it's interesting. I'm curious about this because we hit on it too a little bit. It's like, how did you make the art stuff, the performance stuff, the fun part of the nuts and bolts of like, there's nothing like being on set. That's all the stuff that we get to do maybe 5 to 10% of the time. It's the other stuff.
Yeah.
How did you learn the business management aspect of what you have to do and relationships with agents, casting directors, you know, producers, independent folks who might say, hey, I think you're great and I'd love to have you on my thing. And then figuring out how to negotiate that relationship that comes outside of the normal channels. What's been your process or your guiding principle through that? Or how did you learn that stuff?
Wow. I love that question.
That's a gigantic question.
But it's so good. I can reach across and hug you. I love that question. Let me think. First of all, it's so funny. As you were saying it, I was like, oh, I'm still learning every day. I feel like it's been
– That's
don't you feel like
– Absolutely.
It's so haphazard, right? And it is about relationships. It is about how you are in the world, you know? And I'm really, really bad at networking. I just love people, so I keep in touch with the people I love.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. It's good because people can smell it when you're trying to network. So right. The good news is that I don't have that thing. But the bad news is I have lost touch with people that – probably it would have behooved me to be friends with, but I just – and we were friendly.
Right.
It just wasn't like a natural progression.
Right.
So I feel like for me it's been much more kind of like I said, like haphazard, just kind of
– Yeah.
But I would say that the one – so I'm still learning in that way. But there's two like practical things that I would say really have made a difference. I took this commercial acting workshop once like – I mean, I don't even know how many years ago with Boise Thomas. I don't know if you know him.
I don't.
He's done hundreds of commercials. He's like, he's ace. And the real takeaway for me was he was like, we're all artists, but you have to do three things a day for work. Three things a day for work. You can define them however you want. But as an artist, to feel like your momentum and moving forward, like that's going to keep you on top of your game, but it's also going to keep your spirit.
Hmm.
And that changed my life. And those three things, I mean, you know, on like really good days, it looks a little like today. Like I've got a podcast, I've got a meeting with a producer, I've got an audition, you know, like
right.
Easy peasy. And then some days it's like, okay, it looks like I'm going to email my agents and say hi and I'm going to go to the gym and, you know, like, and then you find a third thing. So
that's great.
It is like that one little tidbit has kept me so alive.
That's really, really great because it is those things of the days that are quiet. What if you do on that thing and you can spin out
right.
Or you can make a choice and be proactive. And even if it's like, well, you know what, I'm going to get myself out on a run or whatever, you're doing it to further everything about your career. And there are days where that's the job, or do a vocal warm up, or do, you know, or go to the library and get a book.
I was just going to say that, or read that yeah. acting book that you bought 10 years
right.
ago that you've been meaning to read. Read a chapter of it. Like,
yeah.
I love that you, yeah, that's one practical yeah. takeaway. And I've thanked him for that. Actually, thank you for reminding me. I'm going to send him a text today.
Good.
Too.
I will.
And
I will.
And thank you
and
for
I'm
that.
Going to take that. I'm going to take that note to heart as well, because I think that's it's easy some days, and other days it's really challenging, like you say. And I think that's an important thing to sort of round out your journey.
And
I'm going to try to do it for personal purposes too. How about that? Mic drop. I'm going to yes and that and go, I got to do three things for my family and friends. Huh?
Oh, I love that.
There you go.
Oh, you just gave me a gift. Thank you. I love
that.
You're welcome. You know?
My pleasure.
I'd say the other thing, so that's like more the practical earthbound kind of
yeah.
three things a day. For work. And then spiritually, I think one thing I really nurture in myself is faith, the word faith, and not even necessarily with religious connotations.
Uh-huh.
Faith in my talent, faith in my path, faith in, well, those are really the two big ones. But you know what I mean? Faith
yeah.
in the universe or the divine or however you see it.
Right.
you know, and faith in my light, just faith. Like that's one of my things I go back to every day. That's what I nurture.
That's wonderful. And that's so important.
Yeah. And faith in what I have to offer and faith in, you know, because there's like a lot of things that you get and then a lot of things you don't get. The reason I'm so raw today is because I tested for, I can't say what, but a big old Netflix show for season two. Uh-huh. And it came out to me and another girl and I found out late yesterday I didn't get it. So that's why it's all good. But that's what I'm working on today.
I understand.
Is like, right?
I understand.
Right?
And that's the journey too, is the days where you're not selected. And it
totally.
It's brutal. Yeah, I feel you, man.
And it's nurturing that strength inside of yourself. And also we're artists, so we have to be able to go, that hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm hurt and scared and sad and bummed, but I'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, I have this friend. Can I say like something
please.
So secret? I can't be wanted to say this.
It's okay.
I have a friend. I'm not gonna say his name because okay. this is probably private information, but he was like, do you know what I do some days? He was like, when I am having doubts or when I'm having fear or whatever, he's like, I IMDb myself. And I got to say, I went, I do the same thing. Because it's like sometimes your brain goes, what am I doing? What am I doing? And
yeah.
then if you go on IMDb, you're like, oh, I'm yeah. okay. I've been
I'm
doing
okay.
this for a long time.
Dude.
So, right? So
oh,
it's like
yeah.
that faith.
I do the same thing.
You do?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good. Thank God.
I keep thinking it was just because I'm a narcissist or something like that. But then I realize, or like –
No.
Or I'll play back some of these episodes and listen to folks talk about their journey and the challenges. And then sometimes – I mean there's all – I use tapping is something I do to put out fires.
Tap dancing?
No. Meridian tapping, EFT. I'll tell you about it off mic.
Oh, yes, please.
It's great. It's really, really great. And it's a very simple practice that just kind of helps. I did it – I had an audition the other day that I was – really well prepared for, but I started to spin out a little bit before uh-huh. going in and was just kind of like, I'm going to need to do a little something just to ground myself so I can relax and go in there and do what I know I'm capable of doing.
Yes.
And it was really, really helpful.
But
I'll talk you through it. It's super easy.
Oh, I would love that.
But I absolutely will.
Oh,
and
thank you.
But like all those little things that just reinforce that sort of sense of self.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's an important thing to have to keep – because we don't get validation from, well, Jones, you've done a good job filing this and so report, so we're going to give you a bonus. There you are. Well done. We'll get the corner office. Yay.
Right? You know? We don't have that trajectory at all.
We do not have Jones's trajectory.
Yeah. But you know, actually, it's funny when you were talking. I'm like, oh, I think it's actually – there's another thing that I do, which is – oh my gosh, you just basically said it. And I was like, no, that too. That's really important. Oh, having something outside the business that so fulfills me.
Yes.
Having a life, because if this life is your, you know, if that's it, oh, forget it. The ups and downs, nobody would survive.
That's right.
So that's why I'm so passionate about volunteering. And that's why I love that you just gave me the gift of like three things a day for your family or your, oh.
Yeah.
Like what an amazing thing. I know I'm the happiest when I'm like surprising my husband with, you know, this, or calling my friend going, oh my gosh, you just moved today. How's it going? Or, you know, like I'm the happiest when I'm thinking outward.
Yes.
Because when I'm thinking too inward, it's like too much pressure. I put too much pressure. So I have things outside the business that give me I'm so full.
It's interesting as artists when you, there's a great short film from, oh my God, it's an animated thing called More. M-O-R-E, and it's just flashing in my head. And it's like they're playing like this little piece of music, I think by either Pet Shop Boys. I forget. I'll send you the link. It's a brilliant short film. And it's about this little clay man working in an industry and they're making this product. And he has a vision. And inside of his stomach is this burning fire. And he doesn't understand why he doesn't have this burning fire outside of his life. It's just this gray world and he can't find it. So he creates a pair of goggles and he puts the fire on it and he can see the world in all these wonderful colors and it energizes him and gives him joy.
Oh.
And but the film doesn't stop there. And this is where it's really takes a turn. They begin manufacturing this product. And it becomes the next thing. And he becomes the world's greatest inventor and becomes all these things. And everything that he set out for in his dreams are there. Sorry. But at the end, He's sitting on top of it all, looking over his empire, and he opens his stomach and the fire's gone. Oh, devastating. And then I think the button of it is he looks out the window, he hears something, and he sees like children, you know, playing on a carousel or whatever, and they have that color that was missing in his life. Beautiful, beautiful short film. I saw it like on a short cinema journal a couple of years back. Anyway, so like I tell you all that and get myself all choked up just for the purpose of saying how important it is to find your source of inspiration like everywhere, you know?
But, you know,
I love your big heart so much. Like, I'm so honored to call you my friend. You have no idea. Sorry, guys. I had to get up and hug him.
Aaron came over and hugged me, which was really awesome. Thank you very much.
I was sitting over here and I was like, oh, I have to hug you.
But, you know, we have to find our sources of inspiration in places outside of our own because we use it for our work. And it's so important that we protect it.
Yeah.
You know? I was talking with Kari about this very thing. Like, so where do you find your sources of inspiration? What are other places that fuel you and excite you with, you know, that make you want to create?
Oh, I love that. I know it's, but honestly, like giving back. Mm. So for me, it's like, oh, if I'm having a bad time, just go and volunteer or go.
How are you? Tell me about where you're putting your volunteer energy. Tell me about that.
Well, okay. So I have a couple things going on. I have a charity group that I co-founded I don't even know, five or six years ago called Charitable Living. And we're just a collective of friends. I mean, it sounds much more fancy than we are. We're just a bunch of friends. We call ourselves the board, but really we're just friends who get together at like a coffee shop and discuss. We kind of divide and conquer. So we do service days. So once a month we've done the gamut from volunteering at an elderly home to volunteering. One of my favorites was we went to this disabled, it was a disabled like home, and they had their monthly prom, and we were like their prom dates, and we danced with them.
That's amazing.
Stuff like that. I mean, like, right? But it's so, I'm like, I know we're making a difference. Also, I'm like, for me, it's so selfish because it gives me so much. I'm like, oh, best day ever. So we have that, and we do, and then we do different projects. So last year we did, we sold out the Hotel Cafe and had all these amazing bands. My husband's band, the 100-Year War, and we had Titus Macon Jr. I don't know if you know who he is, and Andy Grammer, and all
awesome.
These. I know, right? Andy's amazing. So stuff like that. And we do that, and like the proceeds all go to that one was for City Pack for home, you know, backpacks for the homeless.
Oh,
so we were able to use that money to get all these amazing backpacks that were specifically designed for them. And then we handed them out on Valentine's Day and stuff like that. Like
it's
that.
Freaking wonderful, dude. I mean, that's just great.
Thank you. That gives me joy. But my latest project, and I'm like, I don't know, let's send a link out or something.
Yeah.
My husband and I decided for our year anniversary, we wanted to build a school in Nepal because I did this through this amazing program a couple years ago. I went to Africa and helped raise money and build a school.
Yeah.
And then so many of our friends were so excited that I'm like, how are we going to do this? But we're going to do it. We're going to raise money to build a school in Nepal, a school in Africa, and send 10 inner city school kids from America on their own build because this program is national and international. So they work with inner city school children here in like Detroit, New York, Oakland, all over. And then they also build schools abroad.
Amazing.
It's the most incredible program. It's like I definitely had a thought when I was in Africa. I was like, I'm going to quit it all and work for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get it. I absolutely do. Yeah. What's the name of the program?
It's Build On.
Build On.
BuildOn.org.
Okay.
And we've just started fundraising. We've got a team of 30, so enthusiastic. So we're raising $120,000 to get both the schools built and send the kids from America. So
wonderful.
We're just the beginning of that.
That's amazing, dude.
Oh, thank you. If you want to be part, like, please, we're you know, anything, because I don't know how to do this. I've never raised that much money in my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm super honest with all my friends. I'm like, technically, we're the leaders, like Paul and I, and we are. But we're like, guys, this is everybody's project.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. I don't know what we're doing. Let's figure it out, you know.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome.
Oh, thank
all right,
you.
Great.
I think it's super important right now to.
I agree.
do something.
I absolutely agree. And I'll definitely include a link on this on the description and stuff too, so folks can find out about it more too.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm curious about total segue. I'm curious about your performance capture work as well as your VO and on camera stuff.
Yeah.
And what your experience, because I know you did stuff in Call of Duty and done, you know, performance capture.
Oh, and I want to tell you what's coming up.
I know. And I know that you have something coming that you can't talk about. So I'm being careful to step around it. But my question is, how did you prepare to do that work? And did your Power Rangers training and stuff like that assist in that to a certain extent? Or what was that process like for you?
I'm pulling up a picture to show you to show you what it is. I love that question. You know, it's so funny. I feel like I lucked into some voiceover stuff and I haven't done as much as I would like to. Like, I want to do voiceovers every day. I love it.
Yeah.
I've done a couple Old Navy commercials and then a couple like ancillary voices on like a Star Wars video game and things like that. But those have been so sporadic.
Huh.
But my kind of couple bigger ones, the one that's coming out that I will find a picture of and show you. and then like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Really, I got auditioning for them like they were a theatrical audition.
Right.
So to me, I'm like, when you're talking about voiceover and like that people think it's run by these 25 people and it's hard to get into, I'm like, oh no, I think that. I'm one of the people that thinks that.
Oh no.
Oh, I just knocked my headband off.
I didn't realize that was the case.
So when you said it, I was like, yeah, me too.
But I really appreciate you saying that about the nature in particular in video games, because it is such dramatic work. And you have to prepare for an audition like that by getting off book, memorizing your lines, you know, all the skills that you need to be able to do the same kind of stuff in an hour long, you know, drama.
That's how I booked my biggest ones, you know, that was genuinely, I treated it like a theatrical audition, didn't know any different. And I went in, and because it was mocap, it was like a theatrical audition, and I was just in the final 3-4. I think I can say it.
Is it a spoiler in the game, or
No. So yeah, I can say it. Okay. I was up for the final three in Mary Jane and the New Spider-Man.
Oh wow!
And again, just treated it like a theatrical audition.
Yeah.
Just so I feel like I lucked into, because of my theatrical work, I've lucked into voiceover. So we'll talk after, but now I'm like, okay, Kif, I want to take like a voiceover class and do. Because after I got Call of Duty, I called up CESD and I was like, I really want to try this voiceover thing. What do I do? And they said to take a class at Kelmson and Kelmson. So I took one.
Great.
And
great.
But I'll talk to you more about it, because I'm like, I want to.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like, I want to ask you, how did you get so involved in it? Because you do so much VO.
I do. That had more to do with Chicago, truthfully.
Really?
Chicago was really where I got started in, not started in VO, but that was where I started to book more national stuff. And it's just logging time. That's really it. You know how it is, man. You book a campaign or something, it's just like getting a series regular in a thing. You're working every day.
Yeah.
You're behind a microphone. You're taking direction. But once you have those things set, you're just kind of riding it. And then where it leads to other things is that confidence. I find that is a bigger – if I don't work for a while, if I don't have a booking for a while that's not like a new booking, you know what I mean? Like there might be something you booked and then they're like, hey, guess what? It's been a year. We're going to record a couple more spots. It's like, woohoo! But in my mind, it doesn't live as a new booking. It doesn't live as a new client.
Yeah.
It lives as a great relationship that I was sustaining. So it's kind of like, how can I book a new relationship, a new client, a new casting director, whatever. And that, to me, always seems to come in like a flurry, where it's like you get one thing and it's like, ha-ha, I'm bulletproof. I'm the big metal beast that comes down in Thor and tries to kill Thor in the desert. And my face opens and it shoots fire out. I'm that powerful. And
totally.
But, you know what I mean? Like, but that level of confidence, and then it leads to a couple other things. You know, and I find like, I think great teachers make all the difference in the world too.
100%.
You know, spending time with, like, I had Pat Fraley in here last time and I'd studied with him many times. And
wow.
he's amazing from a standpoint in particular of like mic technique and how to get close and off and the different kinds of energy you can create by getting closer to a microphone and getting really quiet versus talking and projecting here where I wow. sound like two different guys.
Yeah. You know?
So like how that can influence like a series of three read where, you know, Nike, they're great shoes. Nike, they're great shoes. You know, that
yeah.
kind of stuff where you just give more options and show range.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk after because I want to take his class.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
Great. I love you so much.
I love you too. This is awesome.
Like really. And I want to know more about you because I know you work all the time theatrically. And then you were just, voiceover and theatrically. And you were just on an animated series. No, you were just on a live action series.
Yeah. I did Richie Rich for yeah. Netflix. And that was an unreal experience. It
yeah.
was unreal. I mean, the whole challenge of doing just the full schedule of even if you're shooting in town, it's just a wonderful liberating experience. But it is like getting just picked up out of your life and dropped into a thing for the length of time that it's shooting.
Yes.
And you work 6 days a week or 5 days depending. But at that 14 hours a day, it's like going to graduate school again.
Yep. 100%. I always feel that way. And it's so interesting because I was talking to my husband about this. I'm just so much better, so much more focused when I'm working because it's so much easier in their structure.
Right.
So it's like I eat better. I just, you know, like it's super easy for me. And then when I'm out in my regular life and I'm back,
yeah.
it's like I get like, woohoo, let's go out for burgers and beer and,
right.
you know.
Right.
And so I love the structure of work. But it's so funny because for the last couple of years, my projects have been mostly out of town, which is way more easy for me to focus.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I really want to do a series or a movie here in LA to figure out what that balance would be like.
Yeah.
You know, to balance my real life and my work life. Because sometimes they feel like two different things. Like you said, like you're plucked out and you're dropping this
right.
thing.
Right. I mean, even when we were shooting Richie, we shot it here up in Canoga Park.
Wow.
And while we were shooting that, I was also going back and forth to Detroit doing Batman versus Superman. So there was kind of this.
Oh, that's so cool.
I mean, that was one of – I look back over the things I've been able to do in my work. And Zack Snyder is hands down my favorite director. I love his work.
Yeah.
I love – like 300 is like that movie.
One of my favorite movies ever.
And, yeah, me too. I mean, just – I don't know. It hit me at the right time in the right place. Our baby had just been born and we had a preemie as well. So like there was all kinds of stuff swirling around what that film meant to me beyond just being like visceral, awesome Gerald Butler, you know, you know, banishing hunchbacks. It was like that movie to me was about strength and what a man is supposed to be and what it takes to all that stuff. So to be able to work with him and be directed in a Batman movie in Detroit where I came up, like it was just everything kind of aligning in a really beautiful way.
Yeah. How did you get that?
Get this. One of my first theatrical talent agents, Kathy Mooney, had retired from agenting and was a casting director in Detroit and was responsible for casting locally. And my agent here, Brianna, over at Clear Talent Group said to me, hey, would you be interested in working? Would you work local? I know you can work local hire in Detroit. Would you be open to be considered for Batman? So I was like, yeah, for that movie, I would. So I put myself on tape.
Wow.
And doing that little audition was like one line, like three times. And then I sent it in. And I don't think Kathy did not solicit my audition. And she was like, oh, my God, I'm so happy that you sent this in. When Zach saw it, he loved you. So they gave me so I got the callback. And to do the callback, they let me audition here at Warner Brothers instead of going to Detroit for the callback,
Great.
Which was amazing. And Christy was incredible over at Warner. And I mean, it was just surreal because I'd only been doing, you know, video games and commercials. And I had a couple co-star things, like nothing significant in that way. And then going to Warner Brothers with the drive on and valeting. And
oh, isn't that so fun?
Oh my God.
I love all of that.
It was just, such an exciting, like, process to be a part of.
Oh, it's so exciting. And I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's so fun, man.
It's so fun. Like, that's the stuff, right? Like,
right?
that's Those little moments.
What's been one of those moments for you? What was like a big turning point, sort of the process story of that kind of from the email to the thing?
Gosh, like, I love that question. You know, it's so funny. Because my career's gone like this.
Sure.
Although I have to say that faith thing, like I did think about that today. Even like when I kind of woke up with like heavy boots and anxiety, I was like,
"Yeah."
I was because I was sure I knew how the next, you know, like 6 months right. of my life were gonna look.
Right.
But even then, I was like, "Oh, you know, I just have this faith. I'm gonna keep working." So the good news is I've kept consistently working, and it's looked different than I thought. Like,
yeah.
It's looked, you know, like I just looked different. Like my life, I could not predict any of it. Like I've done 6 pilots and only 2 of them have gone to series and for like 8 episodes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like you just don't know what they're going to look like. But then also I got married and got offered 3 movies in a row right after we got married. And I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, like I just don't know. But after the wedding, I was like, well, we'll figure it out. And then I got a call, you know?
That's right.
You just never know. So I think, I mean, I've had so many of those fun moments, but I'll tell you about a humbling moment I had, actually, which was, I don't know why this came up, but I did a movie. It's out on Netflix right now. Shameless plug. It's called The Watcher. I'm the lead of it.
Awesome.
Opposite Eddie Gathegi. Do you know who he is? He is on the Blacklist Redemption right now.
Oh, okay.
He was in Twilight and X-Men, and he's just brilliant.
Awesome.
And so he's a really dear friend of mine. So he had gotten attached to this project, and then he said, you know, is Aaron Cahill on your list? And they said yes. He's like, well, just offer it to her. Which,
oh, wow.
I know. That when you're Eddie, you can say things like that, and they do it.
That's
I'm
amazing.
Like, yes, Eddie. So I know. I like, have never stopped thanking him. So we got to play this young couple. Anyway, point is, like, I don't know what part of my brain. I think I'd been doing it for so long, and it's been my job for 17 years, and I'm super grateful every day, but I wasn't nurturing that fire, you know? So I was super excited, like, having a blast on set and giving it my all, but I was taking it a little for granted.
Mm.
And Eddie said something so that just – I was like, huh? I mean, now – since then, now he's like on the Blacklist Redemption and on the show on Crackle opposite Martin Freeman, and he's like kicking butt. But we filmed this a year and a half ago, and – and he was like, you know, I've never been number 2 in a call sheet. And I was totally taking it for granted that I was number 1 on the call. I mean, I was grateful, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was, I'll never forget when he said that to me. He was like, this is really exciting, and it's really like such intense good work. And I was like, oh my God, Eddie Gathegi saying that to me. He's like a really dear friend, but it was like, I stepped back and I went, ooh, Cahill, you gotta, you'd be grateful for every second of this.
That's right.
Because to me, it was like this little indie, you know, but to him, it was like, hey, this is uncharted territory.
Right.
And he had just come from set with, like, you know, Oscar winners or whatever.
Right.
And I was, and it was just a good lesson for me. So for the last year and a half, like, I don't take anything for granted. I'm like,
amen.
Right? Especially the fact that that's pretty cool. Like, it's really cool. It's just cool. So I would say, like, that was a humbling moment. But I have all, like, I don't know. It's like super fun. Like, what I said, it's coming up Friday. I'm going to Sony, and I'm going to, like, a private screening room to see this thing that I'll tell you about. And then Monday, I've got, like, a premiere, and I've got a fancy dress, and I'm going to have my hair and makeup done. All that fun stuff, you know? It's like, that stuff is so fun.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the rarity of it is the best part of it too, that makes it so special and unique and continually reminds you to have blind faith but not false hope, to quote the Foo Fighters. But like,
hang on.
No blind faith, no false have blind faith but no false hope.
I love that.
I'm checking my time, and we are at our time. So what I need to ask you really quick is tell me how people can find you on social media.
Oh, my gosh. I love that so much. I have actually a social media card that I feel like I should just email you if you want to put up.
Okay, I'll put that on there.
But I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. It's all verified. On Facebook, I'm just Aaron J. Cahill. And then on Instagram, I'm EJ Cahill, because there's another Erin Cahill. She's like a bikini model. So that's not me,
that's
even
not
though,
you.
Listen, I would like to superimpose my face on some of her pictures. So it's Facebook's Erin J. Cahill. Instagram's EJ Cahill. Twitter is Erin J. _ Cahill.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I'll text
and I follow
it to you
right on there,
now.
And I'm gonna tweet you out on all over VO on my Twitter thing there, and we'll send that out as well.
And I'm gonna retweet it, and awesome. You know, I have the best fans. This is a perfect opportunity to say to every one of my fans, Thank you for being my fan. I have the most amazing fans in the world and such like loving, kind, and a lot of them have been my fan for like 16 years.
That's amazing.
I know, right? So thank you. I love you guys so much. I wouldn't be here without them. So thank you.
Dude, you are the best. Thank you so much. This has just been so wonderful to be able to spend some time with you like this without getting interrupted with another audition or whatever. All the goodness, but yay. Aww. Aaron Cahill, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Holla at you soon, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace. Thank you for joining us on All Over VoiceOver with Kiff VH. Please take a moment to review the show and let other folks know what you thought. And if you dug it, please subscribe. Follow the show on Twitter at AllOverVO and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/AllOverVO with Kiff VH. That's it for this time. You get what you get and don't get upset. Claim victory and depart the field.